I'm David Halpin, in my 83rd year, a retired orthopedic and trauma surgeon with a good knowledge of pathology and having seen most things in medicine and surgery in this country.
Could you just tell us what that word pathology means?
Pathology means the workings of the human body or any other mammalian body when they go wrong, when there's disease or malfunction.
Okay, so we've had the recent death of the Queen.
And I was good on that.
Around about a fortnight ago, and her funeral, etc. Now, there were questions raised because at the time there was no announcement about cause of death, and we've now, on Thursday the 29th of October 2022, Thursday the 29th of September 2022, had an official announcement that the cause of death as written on the death certificate is old age. Now, I'm a little bit questioning this because as far as I know, lots and lots of old people are still alive and just being old does not cause you to die.
This is typical of you as an independent journalist that you're focusing on this, and I can see why. I can see that, actually. I think it's, as far as I'm concerned, in the global thing, it's a small thing. But then this, I've said this, there's a website about filling in death certificates, MCCDs, as they're called. This is the Scottish, NHS website. And I quote, "When writing a joint cause of death, state the interval of the first condition identified." First condition, they're very specific about how it should be laid out. It's all very sensible. In causation, intervals must be provided for all items, with the exception of, inverted commas, old age, which may be allowed in certain circumstances, most commonly in an unexplained gradual decline leading to death in a patient over 80. Well, in her case, there was not a gradual decline, as you know. So, in fact, if I wrote old age on the Queen's death certificate, any proper registrar, this is, in fact, the Registrar General who's, in fact, signed this, top dog, it would have been rejected. And I told you, there's a young doctor I once wrote old age, and I was given a rap on the wrist, I had to rewrite it.
Okay, so
and I've expanded the extract. Go on, I expanded the extract of the death certificate in the Mirror. The doctor's name appears to be, as I've just told you, the GMC register, I couldn't find it there with Alan spelt with one L. I put in two L's and it still didn't come up. Okay? Glass is sometimes an Ashkenazim origin name. Now, I'm not sure whether it's my training as a medical student, but certainly in my experience as a young doctor, I can remember being told off for writing old age on one certificate. I think it was a patient in Torbay Hospital, I think. No, can't be that. I wasn't writing them then. That was often done by junior doctors. But that was the case. Old age was not an allowed cause of death.
Okay, why not? But,
well, because although people do die of old age, there is usually some pathological process which takes them off into the ether.
Okay, so that's something.
I told you last on interview, my fifth interview with you, I told you that quite often it's a gradual process and they end up with bronchopneumonia. If they're declining because they've been eating very little, they've been losing weight, say, they turn their face to a wall. That is the most important point I want to make. When people have had enough, and some of them were like this during the COVID lockdowns and all the rest of it, when they couldn't see doctors or they feared going to hospital or seeing doctors, they had had enough and they, in inverted commas, turned their face to the wall. That is an expression which I think is in lay usage, and I saw it as a doctor. When people want to die, they do. That's a fact. Now, that might be the case that people die of old age, but usually, as I say, is a pathological process. Often it's pneumonia because their lungs, their chests become less active, their lungs get filled with secretions, the secondary infection. They may even, in fact, be inhaling drink fluid that they've been you know, that they're taking, something like that.
Okay, so it may well be that you've got, you know, maybe two potential causes of death. So something which is a chronic condition and then something else which comes on top of that. So having had a look at death certificates, you've got a whole space. It's quite a large space there
for
doctors to write maybe one or two, maybe even three different things which have contributed to death. And then sometimes they actually put their own signature at the bottom, don't they?
They do. And the thing is that if you read the advice, which is very sensible and good, given on this website that I've quoted to you in my email to you at 3:09 p.m., the essence is sad.scot.nhs.uk, and it's in fact the text of an animation, and the text is, I think, better. But it's very specific, and in fact they talk about if there is a condition, say that the patient, like my dear daughter, has the rectal cancer, that was, say, established, in fact, about 2 months ago now by colonoscopy and then biopsy. If there is then another process added to that, which in her case is not leading to death, she's very well, thank goodness, then you add that, but they, in this website, they specify you should put in the interval. So you put in cancer diagnosed 2 months ago. Then you would say bronchopneumonia, or say anemia, and then 3 weeks ago, and then you might put bronchopneumonia as a cause of death. Do you see? That is how some people with cancer would die. If you're talking about someone who's been vaccinated, inverted commas, vaccinated with a toxic junk and has suffered, say, the common thrombosis of either major veins or arteries, or microthrombosis in the periphery in their small arteries, their arterioles, you'd say when the toxic junk was given and when the first symptoms arose and when perhaps of an investigation was done, say a CAT scan which showed a massive pulmonary embolus.
You see, well, what we're saying here, none of this indicates that it is a correct procedure to write old age.
It is not a correct procedure, and it's clearly defined in this instruction from this, in this website, from the senior medical officer responsible for these things in Scotland, that you cannot write old age unless there has been a slow decline over the age of 80 specified. Well, the Queen was 96. As you know, I don't study the royals much at all. And I've learnt from you about what the sequence was. As you saw, the awful Miss Truss on the Tuesday, and shook hands with her, showing the hemoglobin in the under the skin of her right hand. And that two days later, I think it was 3:20 or thereabouts, in the afternoon of Thursday, she died. And so that wasn't a slow decline. It was, in fact, a rather rapid decline.
Okay, so what you're saying is by their own medical instructions in Scotland, you cannot write something like old age.
You cannot write. It is wrong, improper, incorrect.
And you know, you may say actually suspicious that something which is out with the normal procedures. These are, I mean, it's almost as if, you know, you say, for example, something doesn't happen, like with Dr. David Kelly, the inquest is not actually completed, that it's stopped and then it never finishes. That this is another thing which is quite obviously not following procedures.
No, it's left in the air somewhat. And really, the process should be this, that the senior registrar, I forget his title now, but he's the top dog, I think, in Scotland, who's put his rather ragged signature at the end of the certificate, which is not really clear. I have to expand it from the Mirror newspaper. It's on all the newspapers, I see. But the proper thing now is for the senior registrar, the top dog, to say this has not been correctly dealt with. The certificate is inadequate in its information, and Dr. Douglas James Allen, with two L's, Glass, should be asked to define how he came to write this and what his observations were, given his name on the certificate regarding our late monarch.
So this chap, is he registered as a doctor in Scotland?
He's not registered on the General Medical Council. I've searched the General Medical Register, which is usually rather efficient at bringing out the output. His full name in. I don't have his registration number, but I put in his name on their search engine on the General Medical Council, and it does. They say no results. I first put in Alan with a single L, and then I corrected that and put in Douglas James Allen, double L, Glass in the second, and it didn't come up. Now, I have to say that I'm not seeing very small font on an expanded image of the death certificate from a newspaper. So I think the name is Glass, but I might be open to correction. I must say that. I'm a man who deals with fact, Tony.
Yeah.
Fact. F-A-C-T.
Definitely. Well, another fact is the extraordinary photographs of the Queen, the last photographs we believe taken of the Queen 2 days before she died, with quite a nice smile on her face, reaching her hand out to, as you described, the damnable trust in order
yes.
to agree to her becoming the Prime Minister. Now, what we've seen is
Prime Minister.
We've seen since then is a completely disastrous, almost kamikaze-style economic policy. But that's not what I want to talk about. I'd like you to maybe revisit this nasty, what looks like a bruise on the back of her right hand.
Yes.
Now, I wondered a few things about this. Is it possible that maybe she had a cannula in there that could cause this? Or is it, and is it even possible that perhaps blood clots could have caused it?
Blood clots wouldn't have caused it. It is quite a lot of pathology we could encompass in this discussion. I said, and I think the most likely cause for the changed hemoglobin lies, that's fractured red cells, under the skin on the dorsal aspect of the right hand and the base of two fingers, rather slightly. Was that she'd had a blood taken for a blood test. That's my first thought.
Why would that cause that, David?
Well, the thing is that when you take, first of all, there may be difficulty in getting into the vein, and then you get bleeding outside the vein, and that tracks down in the upper limb and in the lower limb. Any blood taken above will track down with gravity partly. And as the red cells lie there, they gradually, with enzymatic action, they break up and you get hemoglobin. And that causes that brown staining, which we see. It's very common. Now, another cause for brown staining is what we call senile purpura. It doesn't look like that, but that's common because the tissues of old people are more fragile. Sue showed me quite a large patch on my Sue's now 83. In July, and she has what we call as Dr. Senile Purpura. That's because she's in fact slightly bruised her arm. She probably can't remember what caused it, and she now has a inverted commas bruise, not like an ordinary bruise. It's very defined and it's purple, about 2 inches by 1 inch on her right forearm. She's left-handed, by the way. So that's common. But that may also be more likely to happen if people's blood clotting physiology is, in fact, pathological. Now, what has been happening this is to be weighed carefully. What has been happening with the toxic junk is that people have had what I call consumption coagulopathy. They've had clotting taking place in their body. Blood platelets are involved in clotting. They're essential to it, along with very fascinating and complex chemistry. And as the blood platelets are involved in that clotting process, their presence in the blood in the circulation generally drops. And they've been reporting thrombocytopenia, that is, lack of blood platelets, in people who've had the toxic junk, certainly with AstraZeneca, Yes, in fact, I think several thousand, I recall, on the grossly inadequate yellow card system, reporting system, and in the States, I think, from the Pfizer thing as well, and the other toxic junk. But so that might be a cause of more easy bleeding, but I'm not going to involve that with the Queen necessarily.
No.
I think the much more likely thing is she had a blood test from one of her attending doctors, and if it was an old, you know, they tend to be of the elderly sort, I can't imagine they'd take along with them a skilled phlebotomist from the local GP surgery, which anyway are fairly thin in that part of Aberdeenshire, I think. They probably went themselves with a bit of blood testing kit, you know, a syringe and a number and a green needle, and they didn't have much. They didn't have ease in getting into the vein, and there was a bit of subcutaneous hemorrhage from the vein puncture, and that caused what you saw in the photograph.
Okay, so we're talking here about maybe taking a blood sample from her wrist.
Yes, no, from her just above her wrist, which is a common site for taking it.
Okay,
I would take it if it was me. I'd take it from, in fact, in a decent vein above her elbow. Now, you raise a question. Most assistants in surgeries and doctors in hospitals would take blood from a larger vessel at the elbow, with the elbow extended, and perhaps with a pneumatic cuff on the arm to help distend the veins. There's a lot to this, actually, but that's what you normally do. Now, I have to say, this is important, the point you raise, that it's less likely that she had blood taken from above the wrist, which is the most likely explanation, from having the brown stain on the back of her hand. So you do question, one has to raise the question, is was a cannula there? One point, above the wrist, which is the normal place putting the cannula. The reason for this is that if you put it at the elbow of the cannula, with the elbow flexing, the cannula is soon disturbed, and it soon, in fact, it's tissue, as they say. That's the usual expression for a cannula, which is now outside the vein. So when there's an infusion going, the fluid ends up in the tissues and not in the circulation. So you put in cannulae, plural, just above the wrist in a little vein there. And that's usually not done so commonly in hospitals. So that is a possibility, but it's a possibility, Tony.
Okay, so if it was a cannula, what's likely to have been, is it a drip or something that would go in there, or maybe?
Well, no, it could have been, she might have been administered a therapeutic agent. She might have had blood taken through it for blood testing. I can't be sure. What else could it be?
It's not a drip or something like that, is it? No.
Well, it could have been an infusion. It could have been either a bolus, as we call it, you know, say 2 or 3 milliliters of some active agent. I don't know. This is speculation, but this is where what I come back to. Dr. Douglas James Alan Glass has not signed the certificate in an adequate manner. And I think the nation should ask him what his observations were, his experience with our monarch, and what advice or treatment he was administering in his last day or two since he saw Miss Truss.
So hang on, he's saying that he put his name on the certificate but didn't sign it?
He didn't, yeah, that's right.
So it's not signed?
No, not signed, no.
Crikey. Well, that's not normal, is it?
No, look, the caveat is this, Tony. I've seen an image on my screen that's about 3 inches long. I had to enlarge it to be able to see the name and see the name of the senior registrar.
Yeah, well, there's another anomaly here, and that is that she's clearly been being treated for something, and yet we're being told that she's died of old age.
That's right. Well, the thing is that, first of all, is the doctor's had to sign it. So he must have had some contact with it. It would have been improper. Although, I add this, during the COVID plandemic, the rules were changed by our most evil government to allow a death certificate, cremation certificate, to be signed by one doctor. Did you know that?
Yes.
You know that. That means, in fact, that you could commit murder as a doctor, or in fact be complicit in murder, or ignore murder if you're an evil doctor by just being the one signature. And in fact, those death certificates were sometimes issued, I understand, as a result of a telephone call remotely by a doctor with a care home. You could not make it up. It's all against the rules that I was taught.
Yeah, so
you should always do the corpse. And this is a good point, a good little anecdote. We were taught forensic pathology, that is, the forensic, the pathology to do with crime, by a man called Mant, M-A-N-T. He was one of the seniors in London, I remember. And he remembered saying that you should examine the corpse when you're called to give a certificate. And he showed a corpse in a shroud, which where, you know, death was recorded as a norm of, you know, usual circumstances, usual cause of death. He then, in fact, showed the next image of the shroud pulled back, and there had been a ligature around the neck. Point taken. So you examine the corpse. And when we had to give, when we had to do part one, as it was called, of a cremation certificate, or as number two doctor, that you required two signatures, when we went down in the hospital to the mortuary, we had to see the corpse was brought out from the refrigerator on the metal tray. So we saw the corpse. All right? Now, I'm not saying in every case you examined every square inch of flesh. You would do if it was if there was crime involved. But most of these cases were dying in hospital of a known process.
I think the most interesting thing to come out of our discussion is this whole thing of there's obvious treatment been going on of some kind. We don't know what, but treatment for what? Because we're told that the Queen died of old age.
We did. That's a very good point. This is your journalistic skill. You see, I'm not quite so agile as you, Tony. Well, I am perhaps, but I'm trying to be the doctor as well. I'm not trying to conceal anything. I'm not concealing anything. I'm giving you my reaction based on a experience as a doctor I had as a medical student since, in fact, 1964 as a doctor and surgeon.
On the Queen's death certificate, are there two doctor signatures as the old-fashioned way before COVID?
No. The death certificate requires one doctor. Cremation certificates require two. And there's a good reason for that, as you can guess.
Which is?
Yes. The reason is, actually, now, this raises almost immediately the question of the cremation of Dr. Kelly's remains years after he was either died or killed. And that leads me to think, who signed that certificate? I know the Home Office were required. We're digressing now, but it's all underlines how we're wallowing in untruth in this country.
So in order to disinter
Kelly's remains, yeah, had to get the permission of the canon of the Oxford Diocese. But in fact, he wasn't buried in hallowed ground. He was buried in a little plot owned by the local parish council, the Bagpuys on something rather. And therefore, the church should not have been involved anyway.
Okay, but so the idea is that you have to have two doctors to sign a
cremation
for a cremation.
Was two doctors. It was changed, I believe I'm right in all this, it was changed by our devious and evil government when the COVID pandemic was in train. And it became one doctor, I believe. You can, you know, this is all tractable. I'm only telling you what I can recall. And by Jove, Tony, I've had to take in thousands of emails and things about the pandemic since March of 2020. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's obviously another obvious angle on all of this is Prince Philip died, I think, within 2 months of having his COVID vaccine, so-called vaccine, jab, should we call it?
Yeah.
And the Queen, so it's probably a year and 18 months since she had hers. It is obviously feasible that that was contributed factor to her death.
Yeah, well, as given that there's quite a long time interval, the acute causes of death, which we discussed last time, like pulmonary embolism, that's when a clot goes to the lung, that is less likely. But I know that the clotting, the pathology of clotting, has happened in some of these people who have had the toxic junk at some time, quite well separated from the last injection, last jab, as they now call it, to minimise the assault jab.
And she might possibly have had a booster.
She might have had a booster 2 days before. I don't know. The thing is that the key to this actually is Dr. Glass, if that's his proper name, if that's his name as I can derive from the cloudy image of the death certificate. But he should be asked about it. This was our monarch. They've shown, thousands of lined up to look at the coffin. They might be interested in knowing about her last few hours or days. They're not well explained, to be frank about it. And now you raise Prince Philip's death. I didn't even know it was 2 months after his damn jab. But the thing is that I do remember that when he drove out of the Sandringham estate and went into a vehicle with two women in it and the baby in the back, and the woman ended up with a fractured arm, and they both could have been killed. And that was brushed aside by our wonderful media very rapidly. There was silence. This is what I'm feeling rather angry now, actually, I can tell you. What I would like to know is, what did Prince Philip's death certificate show?
Well, I bet it didn't say he died of a vaccine injury.
I bet it didn't say he died of old age or died of too much whiskey. It might have been the cause of the accident outside Sandringham Estate.
Okay, David Halpin, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, all the best.